Dr. Jason O'Mara, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Brendan. How are you?
And you've just moved back to Dublin from LA, so welcome home.
Thank you. It's good to be home, yeah. Besides the weather, still getting my head around that, but
You didn't lose your South Dublin accent either, did you?
Well,
South Dublin accent is like titanium and held up even to LA.
Well, we'll see. I might get more American now as we talk about, years past. We'll see.
Okay. So listen, Jason, people will know you from... so many things: Band of Brothers, Life on Mars, the Good Wife. You're in a lot of Marvel and DC stuff as well. You were the voice of Batman, no less. Closer to home than the Siege of Jadaville, Smother, and now you're in what looks like a fantastic new RT series, These Sacred Vows. In a few weeks, people might have seen the trailers. It looks great, and you're also in the new series of The Lincoln Lawyer on Netflix. I could go on and on, but you have picked 5 songs that have meant something special to you throughout your life for us. Did you get a lot of your early music from a jukebox, yeah?
I did, yeah. My father ran a snooker hall in an amusement arcade in Rathmines in the 70s. And so he would, every year or two, he would switch out the singles in the jukebox. So and he'd bring them home to switch them out for fresh ones to try to keep up with the hit parade. So I would have all this fantastic vinyl at home, and I'd be listening to, like Iggy Pop and Julian Cope and whatever. And I didn't really, obviously there was like Queen and Status Quo and all the stuff at the time, but I didn't really kind of, I just listened to it as music. I didn't really know what it meant in a way.
Like, which was cool and which wasn't.
Exactly. I just sort of embraced all of it. And I think that's probably why my music selection is so eclectic. Like, it's all over the place.
So people might think, okay, this guy's an actor, but he grew up in a house. His father had an amusement arcade. Was it an arty kind of house at all then?
I suppose it was, yeah. I mean, his business was more sort of about, it was more of a snooker hall, really. I remember there's when we went to Florida once on a holiday, he bought these like big sort of fenders, Buick fenders and hubcaps, and he used that as sort of part of the decor place.
Yeah.
And that was important to him, the way it looked, you know. And my mother also was very encouraging to us three children. She always brought us to the theatre and live music events and brought us to the movies and encouraged all of that. So it's probably her fault I ended up being an actor.
Okay. Your first song is Simon and Garfunkel, The Only Living Boy in New York. Where does this take you back to?
This takes me back to a house that we used to stay in that belonged to family friends of ours in Renville, or near Renville in the west of Ireland. And we used to go out there on our summer holidays every year. My sister's 4 years younger than me. So I was probably about, somewhere between 10 and 12 at this point. And Rebecca, my sister, who's also an actor, by the way, she was 4 years younger than me. My brother was probably too young at this point to, form words. But we would, because it was, Irish summertime, a lot of the time spent indoors because of the rain. More about rain later. But we would end up listening, the television wasn't much to speak of, and barely worked, and we didn't have phones back then, so we listened to the vinyl that was on offer. And I remember Bridge Over Troubled Water, the album from 1970, and this is probably 10 to 12 years later, was there, and we would listen to it over and over again, me and my sister, and we knew all the words, all the lyrics. And we just, I don't know, it's just an abiding memory.
Yeah.
There's one song on there called Cecilia, which is about a man coming home to his lover and interrupting, another man. And so that wasn't exactly appropriate for children. Yeah, you're having this wholesome time. But there's some great tracks on that record.
Yeah,
and this one in particular.
Funny how music from that period in your life can be imprinted on our DNA. And it came so accidentally there. It was in that house there. Okay, here's Jason O'Mara's first choice today. Simon and Garfunkel, The Only Living Boy in New York.
Here I am, the only living boy in New York.
isn't it? Simon and Garfunkel, The Only Living Boy in New York. These are great music choices, actually. That's Jason O'Mara's first choice today. So so you were a rugby player in South County Dublin. Also a goth, yes? How did you straddle those two worlds?
Yeah, I was sort of... Okay, so at this point, I'm like... probably 15, 16, 17, moping around the mean streets of Sandy Cove in South County Dublin and going to a rugby school. And so I was definitely a rugby player on the outside, but I had a sort of a dark poet in me, I think, which was definitely kind of an opposing duality that was going on. And so trying to reconcile those two things. And of course, when you feel that way and appear another, It's you don't quite fit into either group, you know. So just that feeling of I don't know, trying to reconcile isolation with solitude and loneliness with just being alone and that sort of thing. But at the same time, which by the way, the Only Living Boy in New York kind of touches on, but at the same time, there's something melodramatic about being a 16-year-old,
and you're
encountering rejection and you're confused about like what's going on and
it's the full opera, really.
The full opera,
so when did you start acting then?
I started acting around that time.
Okay,
I think you knew that by your question. So there was definitely a lot of introspection going on, and in a way, there's nothing wrong with that because that's kind of where you get inspiration and your imagination can take flight. Then, you know, but I remember listening to a lot of Jesus and Mary Chain and The Cure at the time. I was kind of divided on maybe including a Cure song here, but I thought Jesus and Mary Chain was kind of funnier because this song's called 9 Million Rainy Days, which is not about Ireland in January. It's a sort of a bitter, dark song about rejection and about taking things really badly.
Yeah.
And I would play it on my Walkman over and over again. I was going out with someone who lived in Dalkey up the road, so I was constantly walking up and down the road to Dalkey and back. And I remember never being able to have enough batteries for my Walkman. Like I was constantly trying to find fresh batteries and money for batteries. And batteries was a major commodity.
That was the challenge back then.
It was.
Okay. I was thinking that the Jesus and Mary Chain or Dewar Revival, I tried the motor on one of my teenage kids. And it was like, turn this off. What is this? But I think their time will come again. Anyway, so here is Jason O'Mara's second choice, The Jesus and Mary Chain, 9 million. 9 million, no less, rainy days. Jason O'Mara, even by the lofty standards of the Jesus Mary Chain, you picked a grim one there. That's 9
All
million
my time
rainy
in hell
days.
Was spent with you.
So it is interesting, though, that you've touched on that there was a sensitive soul in there, maybe slightly alienated and stuff like that. I was interested that you gave up drinking at 23, which a lot of people would say, that's young to realise that you can't really drink because most people are still in the stage of that kind of college-y drinking at that stage and everyone's drinking and it's fine.
Mm. I think probably there was, you know, I would get the blues a lot in between sort of drinks, if you like. And I really struggled with it throughout college and I felt things were kind of falling apart inside a bit. And I got some help with stopping drinking and I really felt like that was sort of the answer for me, you know.
Yeah.
And things immediately started to kind of come together. I could think clearer and I felt I stood a chance, whether it's before I was just sort of winging it, you know.
Yeah.
And so it was hard, obviously, 23, you know, all your friends are going out. And I did 4 years in college. Then I went to London to pursue acting. And, you know, even in my 20s in London, you know, I had friends who were DJs and stuff. And so I was still going out, but it was tough not, you know, trying to stay sober in that environment. Yeah. But I knew that, you know, once I was able to kind of survive a few years doing that, for me, it was just something I didn't really want to do again, one day at a time. But for me, it was like that was, it was working for me. Not drinking was working for me. And whatever depression or whatever I was experiencing was relieved, not entirely, but those feelings of loneliness and self-pity kind of started to slip away.
And it made you a spiritual seeker. In what way?
I think it did, yeah. I mean, what it allowed me to do was really sort of embark on a journey of a connection with a higher power that I choose to call God, you know, a God of my own understanding. And so it's just really been about improving that relationship, you know, bit by bit as time goes on.
And look, I know people can hold that as a kind of a private precious thing or anything, mm-hmm. but what does it look like roughly for you?
So it's changed a lot over the years. Obviously, meditation is a strong part of it, but I can't say I've meditated every day for the last 30 years. So sometimes it's periods of just like going for walks. You know, I love walking by the sea, for example, or up in the hills, or listening to music. I find very meditative and.
Yeah.
Later on, there'll be a selection that'll reflect that more.
Yeah. But so it's connecting to something divine.
Exactly. Yeah. And I really feel like that can only truly be done in silence, you know, when you stop moving, stop talking, stop listening and just quiet yourself. Then the voice inside, if you like, gets louder, you know.
Wow. Okay. I wasn't
that
expecting...
That higher self rather than my own voice. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Yeah. I wasn't expecting this from the guy who went to Michael's and played rugby and then went to LA and played Batman and all that kind of thing. So you're a very sensitive person, are you?
I suppose I am when you put it like that. Yeah. I mean, I suppose there's, you know, I empathize a lot with other people as well. And I suppose as an actor, that's something important that you need in your toolkit in order to play a role. You need to be able to empathize with a person, whether they're doing the right thing for the wrong reasons or the wrong thing for the right reasons.
Yeah, okay.
That's an important part of it. So I suppose that all, when it comes together, that all kind of makes sense, you know.
Of course, yeah. Yeah, I'm thinking of who you worked with recently on the sacred vows. Tom Vaughan Lawler saying to me recently here that you need to be tough as nails too to be an actor and to be a kind of a jobbing actor. So you went to London and you were working there and everything. And then rather than you going calling LA came calling you. Did LA go looking for actors from abroad at a particular point? Was that kind of
I think that's fair, yeah. I mean, you mentioned earlier I did Band of Brothers and that sort of became a calling card in a way. And so my agent in London was starting to get calls from the States. And I started going up for projects that were out there. And it got to the point where they wanted to fly me out to test for a pilot, which I ended up getting. And then I ended up getting a role in a major, you know, US television series, which was... very exciting. I mean,
which one was that?
It was called The Agency. Yeah. There was a few at the time. There was like 24 and Alias, and this was called The Agency, and it was about the CIA. And this is newly post 9/11, so it was tricky to get the sort of balance right on all of that.
Yeah.
You know, politically as much as anything else, but it was an interesting sort of. I suppose my character was sort of an action. An action guy, really. He wasn't really a man of words. He was a man of action. And anyway, it was an important turning point in my life.
So once something like that happens for you, are you kind of set then in LA, or is it still ups and downs?
I wouldn't say set. I still had to. There was still years after that where I was still, you know, proving myself. But it definitely opened a huge door for me that allowed me to start choosing projects. And who I worked with and what kind of thing I worked with. And in many ways, that culminated in Life on Mars, the US remake that you mentioned earlier, which we shot in New York in around 2007. But I have this memory around 2002, which was the year I went out there. And I'd got this big job and everything. And the first thing I did was I bought a Porsche, a secondhand Porsche, but a Porsche nonetheless.
Yeah. Well, and you need a car in LA, don't you? Everyone says you can't walk anywhere.
I don't know. Everybody else was doing it. So so I have this memory of driving down Sunset Boulevard in this car. And, you know, I was a big Pixies and David Bowie fan in college.
Yeah.
As well as like the Lads and all the great Irish music that was happening at the time. There's no Irish selection on this, by the way, either, which I thought was a huge oversight, but I'm sure other guests have that covered. Anyway, David Bowie had just come out with his album Heathen.
Yeah.
There was one track on it, which where he covers a Pixies song called Cactus, which was always a favorite Pixies of mine. And, I don't know. I think he probably got a lot of stick at the time because it was probably considered more one of the more weaker tracks on the album.
Yeah. I don't think so, but yeah.
But it's quite explosive and it's kind of sexy and it's...
Totally.
And I think he was...
And it's made for driving down Santa Monica Boulevard in a Porsche. Tell us the top was down on the Porsche.
No, I didn't. I didn't have a soft top. I'm sorry.
Your hair
sorry
in the wind. Here's David Bowie Cactus. Just wishing that I had just something you wore. I'd put it on when I go lonely. Will you take off your dress and sell it to me? I miss your kiss and then I miss your head. And the letter in your writing doesn't mean you're not dead. Just run out. Okay, there's David Bowie Cactus, and that's Jason O'Mara's third music choice today. So Jason, you've acted very successfully and very consistently out in LA. Your voice, though, has been a big part of your acting work. So the voice of Batman is a very big deal, isn't it? I know that because the sound engineers were incredibly excited when he heard you recording. What does Batman sound like?
Well, he sort of sounds like this. To the Batcave. That's for you.
and then you did ads as well. No shame in that.
Yeah. Did some ads and some nationwide American
commercials,
TV commercials. Well, radio commercials, not TV. Yeah.
What was your favorite?
Well, I did an insurance ad which went national. Gosh, I suppose that was about 10 years ago now. I can't believe the way the time flies. And it was for this insurance company, which was about bundling your car and auto insurance, car and bike insurance. And experiencing a kind of peace from this, you know.
Okay, I'm so only allowing you to tell us what this ad was so you can set it up.
So I was saying, bundle your auto, house and motorbike insurance and achieve peace of mind. I'm not going to say the brand. But,
okay, I'm sold. Yeah. And I'm told as well, doing both DC and Marvel is a very big deal as well, is it, to straddle both houses?
I don't think there's many who do. I was also in Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which was a big sort of Marvel TV series that went quite a few seasons. And I played the Patriot in that, who was a Marvel superhero. So... between the Patriot and Batman, I was able to do both. Yeah,
And you're not boasting at all. You're so modest about all this. I'm having to drag it out of you. Why is your next choice Public Enemy harder than you think?
Well, by this point, this came out like 2007. That was a tough year because I'm a father now. By this point, my son was born in New York in 2004. I'm sort of bi-coastal. I'm going back and forth between New York and LA, balancing a career with family and being a dad. And this song is really, I don't know, it spoke to me. Obviously, there's a social justice and equality part of it that I'm not qualified to speak about as a white man. But I think, like all good art, it works on every level, including the individual level. And for me, it's about staying the course. With integrity, no matter what, you know, and I find that quite empowering. And And I think sometimes when you need a lift, you want, you know, something or someone to encourage you and go, it's going to be all right, no matter, you know, even if it's tough. And in fact, it's better if it's tough, because then you got to fight
harder. Music can do that for you.
Yeah.
Okay, why doesn't Batman introduce this song? Go on.
This is Public Enemy. Harder than you think. I'm like that doll Chucky, baby. Keep coming back to live love life like I'm crazy. Keep it moving, rising to the top. Duck fresh, clean living, you don't stop. Revolution means change, don't look at me strange. So I can't repeat what other rappers be saying. If you don't stand for something, you fall for anything. Harder than you think is a beautiful thing.
Okay, that's Public Enemy, Harder Than You Think. Another excellent music choice.
Thank you, Brendan.
From Jason O'Mara. I think you're going to get your own show after this. You know, I think this young man is going to go places. He's good. He can do Batman. He can do... Okay, so you were in LA over 20 years. When did you start to feel the pull to move home?
Well, I was in a certain... So 2019, post-divorce, heading into a pandemic... And, you know, the pandemic did funny things to us all, didn't it? Mm-hmm. And for me, it was like I was in LA, but I might as well have been on the moon in terms of how close I felt to Ireland. I always felt like I was always just an Aer Lingus flight away. And at this point, you know, I just started to feel very far away. I started to miss home. And, you know, there was a point there where we didn't know how long this was going to go on for. And, I was sort of, you know, single and trying to date. By the way, dating in LA is not for the faint-hearted, if you're thinking about it, Brendan.
Give me one reason why.
Well, it's just that, I don't know, maybe it's a certain type of personality. Maybe it's just I don't know, something about the place that's just, there's
I see you need to be quite an up person, do you?
Well, yeah, but there's also a lack of sincerity, a lack of commitment, a lack of, you know, those sort of things that I think are sort of, everyone talks about being, you know, authentic.
Yeah.
But there are very few people who are, so.
Yeah, they're not listening to the Jesus and Mary chain.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They just need a bit more goth in their lives. So I was, in fact, that around that time I came back. So 2022 was kind of the tail end of the pandemic, and came back to Ireland to do Smother, the RTE series. And towards the end of that, I met Catherine Walker, the Irish actress, through my sister, who comes back into the story again. And things
See, that was never going to happen in LA, was it?
That was never going to. Believe me, I tried to make it happen.
I know this one, yeah. Okay.
No, and so that was that sort of changed everything. She's my fiance now. We're engaged.
Congratulations!
And thank you.
Yeah,
and
she's a lucky woman.
She is. I think she's the lucky one, Brendan, personally. But anyway, things changed, and and I think that's when I really started to look at the possibility of moving back, and I wanted to spend more time with my family anyway. My brother and sister, who used to be in London, had already moved back, and so it just sort of seemed like the right time. My son is finishing his last year in college in California, so it was just like the timing just seemed to be right. I mean, I still love LA, and I go back regularly. I'll be going back in a couple of months, but it just seemed like it was time to come home.
Okay. These Sacred Vows starts on RT1 on February the 1st. As I was saying, the trailer looks absolutely fantastic. You'd nearly say it doesn't look like something that was made by RTE, but those days are gone. RTE is making a lot of high quality stuff now, but this looks brilliant. So what is it, and who do you play?
Yeah, so These Sacred Vows is a six-part comedy drama by the writer-director John Butler. It stars Tom Von Lawler, Justine Mitchell, and myself. Justine's an old college classmate of mine, by the way. We went out together for a couple of years in college and then remained very good friends. And it's about a wedding in Tenerife that goes wrong. John Butler, the way he frames it is that it's a show about marriage by someone who doesn't believe in it. And that's quite a good summary of it as well. And also that the least interesting part of any wedding is the bride and groom. It's always the surrounding characters that have the drama going on. So that's really it. I mean, it's tremendously funny, quite original, I think, and there's some great performances. So it does seem quite fresh and new.
It looks great. Yeah. I think it'll land very well. There's also a season two of Irish Blood with Alicia Silverstone, who we spoke to here recently. You play her father in that. Mm. Were you offended when you got that role?
I was slightly, because I don't think I'm that much older than her, but... I mean, it was explained to me that I play her father in flashbacks. Yeah. So I'd be playing father to her as a child, who was played by a young actress called Faith Delaney, who's also in the Hamlet film. And so that's where that made sense. But there were some scenes where she comes back to Ireland and I've left sort of video messages for her. And so I had to have the wig and the aging makeup and everything.
Yeah, I've seen it's really good, actually. Like it's better than people might expect, because I think a lot of people are going, the Americans coming over here making a Valley Kiss Angel-y kind of thing. But it's terrific. And the Lincoln Lawyer new series is that coming on?
Yeah, that's
Netflix
coming in February very soon. Yeah.
All going on. Okay, excellent. So your last music choice today, I think, is back to your fiance, Catherine.
Yeah, so we went to see Max Richter play the Sleep piece that he wrote, which is an 8-hour long concert, which he played at Alexander Palace a few months ago in London. And we went along, and instead of a seat, you have a bed, and there's 250, 300 beds in this massive space. And you get into bed and you start listening to this piece of music, and you fall asleep and you wake up the next morning and he's still playing. And there's this moment where this music comes from, where you wake up and everyone else is waking up around the same time and this music is playing. And it's about hope, and it's about promise, the promise of a new day as the new day is breaking. And there's something very positive about it, I think. And then when preparing for this show, I went back and looked at the first playlist that Catherine sent me, and I realized that this piece of music was on it. And I didn't know that when I first thought of maybe suggesting it for this. So that all made sense. And it's a feeling of a sort of full circle in a way for me, but also a feeling of that the best is yet to come.
Absolutely. I'm sure it is. Actually, have you seen Hamlet yet? There's an old Max Richter.
Apparently he composed a piece, an original piece for that, and the director said no, she wanted the she must have become
Jesse Buckley, actually, they were confused about the ending. Mm. They became confused, and Jesse Buckley, I think, later on this.
And
that was the key to that extraordinary ending scene. So it's a great time for Irish actors, isn't it? You'll be watching the Golden Globes tonight.
Oh, is it tonight? I didn't even know.
There you go. You left LA behind. Move on.
Exactly.
Okay. Jason O'Mara stars in These Sacred Vows, which starts on RT1 on Sunday, the 1st of February. Thank you very much, Jason. And we'll end today on your final track. This is Dream Zero Till Break of Day, Part 9 by Max Richter. We'll have you again. Thanks a million.
Thanks so much for having me, Brendan.
RTE.ie.